had a little saying commercial back yonder in the 70s and 80s, I guess, on TV, and it said, "Coke the real thing." You know, and I thought, you know what? There's a counterfeit Jesus. I heard about it in church, my pastor talking about it and all that. And I went home, you know, and this preacher was talking about, "Are you sure you're right?" And he said, "If you ain't, just give your heart to Jesus." I just got down, you know, I just got down on my knees in my living room in front of the TV, you know, and I thought, I want to make sure I got the real Jesus. Pray God, and I just surrendered again. I was already born again, but I just wanted to make sure. And I was thinking about this morning, but title is first place, final authority, y'all go ahead. But I was thinking about it this morning. You know, we live in sometimes somewhat a generation that might not understand what it means to get born again, get saved, whatever, get washed in the blood of Jesus, and how it happens. It's a supernatural thing. But being born again is a supernatural thing. The Bible says that Jesus Christ that we hear about today was slain before the foundation of this earth. He was destined to go to the cross for me and you. And all we got to do is believe on Him that came from God. He came from heaven. He came to the earth. He walked 33 years on this planet. He was crucified, died. He was buried. He was put on a cross. He was buried and raised. And all you got to do that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work that He did to get born again. I wanted to make that real clear. And so how I did it, and I'm not your pattern, the Holy Spirit drawed me one day. I started wanting to go to church. I started wanting to read the Bible. I started wanting to change, but I wasn't born again. Started reading the Bible and all of that. But one day on my knees in my living room, I simply told God, because one of my brothers sitting back in the service, and one of my other brothers, they worked together and was together, you know, and they all time talking about this Jesus. And so in my desperation that day, this is not my message, I don't think, but it is what it is. Praise God, hallelujah. But I was on my knees in my living room, and I told God, I said, "If you're real like Eddie and Glenn, my brothers, if you're really real like they say you are, then help me." And I'm telling you, when I did that, the Holy Spirit came on the inside of me. Praise God, and I got born again. That's how simple that was. That supernatural rebirthing took place. And that thing has been working in me for over 30 years. And then I went on and I understand, you know, what the Apostle Paul somewhat when he says, "I follow after that I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus." And so once you get born again, really born again, or you rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, there's a fire. He is as a consuming fire. And it comes on the inside of you and it draws you to the kingdom. It draws you to the Lord. It draws you to want to prosper. The Bible said it is God that works in me and you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not us making ourselves want God. It is God putting a hunger for Him on the inside of us. And then when we go after that hunger, however it might be, you're doing it this morning. You come to the house of the Lord. Some of you did. I want to thank Travis. You know, I had to be in Grandview down yonder real early yesterday morning, and the food thing was a problem. We prayed Wednesday night, didn't we? Yes. That we'd be able to get that food before Sunday, because Wednesday would be some hardship on all of us because we would have to unload it after church. So we come in agreement together, right? Yes. This is the kingdom. The kingdom helps you believe the impossible. But I want to thank Travis. He said, "Dad," he said, "I'll go get the food." I said, "Well, I hate for you too." Like that, you know, because I'm thinking, man, he's going to sweat up there and he's going to... Well, love don't want to put no pressure on nobody, does it? Right? Whether it's your son or Or, you know, praise God, I thank God for them love messages. Because my faith to believe God for the supernatural works by love. Galatians 5 says it. Faith works by love. Because of love. Energized by it. Boosted up. Jump you off by it. Whatever. However, I can't explain it no better. It'll jump you off. Your battery dead out there. You go borrow one of them jump boxes. Man, that baby's already charged up, ain't it? Usually if they've got it in its right place, it's charged up. Well, you know what? Praise God, it'll give you a charge. I'm charged. But I want to thank Travis. He went and got the food. Well, he went over and got the truck Friday, Thursday, and when I come back and seen it, it was all washed, and it looked real good for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want to thank Travis for doing that for us, you know. And praise God. But then I told Travis, I said, I'm going to call. Now I'm saying this because it's not my great faith. It's our unified faith, our unified believing, our unity. It's a corporate body believing God. And we see results. Well, I didn't even have to call him. He sent me a message, and can you get it Friday? And I thought, oh, glory to God, there it is. I told Travis, I said, there it is. We asked him Wednesday, work real quick. Hallelujah. Then don't God say he supply all Scotty's needs? All, are you in there? Are you in that Bible? It says God says he will supply all. You put your name in there. That's mine, God. When somebody brings up a scripture to me, praise the Lord, that's what I was going to preach. What I'm going to preach on is first place, final authority. God's Word. Now, you know, I mean, people think that, you know, when you're just a word person, that you're a weird person. But a word person thinks somebody that don't stand on the Word's weird. Absolutely. Right? Praise God. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, it's because you're a preacher. And I said, I wasn't a preacher when I started getting this stuff. I didn't know I was a preacher. I got born again, thanking God I didn't shoot myself and commit suicide. And I was just going to church. I was just going to church and begin to realize things out of the Scripture. You don't know who you are without the Scripture. You don't know that you're a king and a priest unto God. You don't know that you're more than a conqueror without the Word of God. I'm going to put God's Word first place over my emotions. My emotions tell me I can't pastor for 22 years. But my Bible tells me I can do all things. Now I'm going to believe that. I'm going to put that first. I'm going to make it final authority, and then I'm going to say amen and I will. That's what putting God's Word first place and final authority is. You make a conscious quality decision when you read, just say you read in the Bible and it says that you're the head, not the tail. You will lend and not borrow. Deuteronomy 28. Now you got to say, that's mine. Black God, I'm broke. I can't even see how I can have any money. I can't get a raise. My job just sucks. But you take that word and you say, I'm going to put this word first place in my thinking. I'm going to make it final authority no matter if I get fired the next day from the lousy job that I got. I'm making it pretty dramatic. But it's not dramatic. God's word, according to Hebrews 4 and 12, His word is quick, sharp, powerful, living. It says it's alive. So when I put that first place living word in my heart that I am the head, not the tail, I am going to lend and not borrow, and I meditate on. See, there's in Matthew chapter 4, they are four groups of people that Jesus talked about. He said, the sower sows the word. He said, they're wayside. That's those that hears the word of God and don't yield your heart to Jesus. Satan comes and he steals that word that was sown. Hallelujah. There is wayside people. That's wayside people. They are, what are they? Yep, stony, thorny, and good. You got wayside, Stony, that means you got to do some repenting. You got to get that heart softened up. So he can write his word in the tables of our heart. That it's not just head knowledge. That stony, that means that, I mean, they hear the word of God and then they don't get no root. Well, to get root, guess what, Eddie? You just got a lake garden. That baby's coming on, it's going to bear fruit. But I guarantee you, go up there and dig that mater plant up right quick. Leave it laying out there. You know what you'll do the next day? That baby, she died. All that fruit that tomato was, you didn't let it get rooted. You didn't keep it rooted, or I didn't keep it rooted. Well, you got to get the word in there, and I mean stand on it when you sow, bro. Now, I made the example of Deuteronomy 8. You got to tell God, thank you, Lord, for this lousy job, and I'm going to repent right now for this lousy job that you give me, and I am going to enjoy this job that you give me. How are you going to enjoy life when you spend 60 hours a week miserable? Well, changing jobs, you get another job and you hate it. Then you go, no, you got to change you right in the middle of your job that you don't like so that you can enjoy the works of your hands and eat the fruit of your labor and stand at the table when you're eating and say, glory to God. Mac, I do a garden every year. And most of y'all gain some weight because I bring you stuff. I bring fruit and the vegetable and all kind of stuff, you know, and everything. Well, Mac, I'll plant that thing, and I mean, I go out there and I'm waiting for it to come up. See, the sower sows the word. You are the sower. Jesus is not the sower in your life. He don't come in there and get your Bible up and lay it in your lap, right? He don't. Me and you are the sowers of the word in our life. We read that Bible. We listen. We come to church. We hear preaching. We listen to preaching. You know, whatever we do, you know, and we're the ones that are responsible to put the word in us. Well, Mac, when that garden comes in, baby, I get on my gator and I just go out there. Teresa, she asked me back, I think last year, she said, what are you doing? I just go out there at the edge of that garden and I just sit there and turn it off and throw my foot up. And I look at every corn, every tomato plant, every squash plant. And sometimes I just sit there and say, praise you, God. Praise you, God. God, you give me the knowledge and wisdom and I enjoy this. I enjoy this like some people enjoy bass fishing. Well, you enjoy bass fishing, you don't want a garden. Right? You just do what you enjoy and let God be a part of it and enjoy it. But you've got to change and stop complaining about your job. Stop complaining about your income. Stop. We went to the men's meeting yesterday and standing there and he said, are you enjoying this hot weather? I said, no. I said, but I'm praising God for it. I'm praising God in it. I meant what I was saying. I wasn't joking. I told him, I said, no, I'm not really enjoying being hot, hot, hot. I said, but I'm not going to complain to God about it. I said, why? I'm going to keep the word in me. I'm going to let it get rooted down deep in me where in no matter what my state is, I'm what? Content. Satisfied. Well, you go on down and it says that there are a thorny ground. You got wayside bunch. You got stony bunch. I went through most of these grounds, all of these grounds. And I'm trying to perfect the last one. Get it more in my life, in other words. Well, the other one is cares, troubles, riches. Some of them Gunnersville Lakin, boating, fishing, skiing. Ain't got time for the Lord. I work 60 hours and I ain't got time for church. You know, I got to make a living. Jesus said, after all these things does the Gentiles seek, right? All, but he said, put my kingdom first. Seek my kingdom. Put my kingdom first. He said, and all of these things will be added to you. If you go on and read Deuteronomy 28, I brought up, it says that all these blessings, it will come on you and overtake you. It didn't say that you will have to work eight jobs. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, I get on people's nerves, Johnny, because I'm a word guy. And I don't mean to, I promise you. It's just that my life was jacked up from the floor up. And the only thing that began to straighten my life out solid and got me solid was the word in my heart after Jesus. And not only hearing the word, but the Bible says in James, Scotty, love your wife. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Scotty, love your wife like Paul said, as Christ so loved the church. See, that brought freedom to me. When I started, what does it mean to love your wife as Christ? You don't put hardship on your wife to benefit you. You make sure your wife is taken care of. I was doing something the other day, and she had to remind me twice. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord, she had to remind me twice. She said, did you remember that my air conditioning wasn't working? And I said, no, I didn't. But I threw everything down right then, and I thought, my baby ain't going to suffer. And I went right around there and threw everything I wanted down, sweating from my head to my toes down there, bitten down there. It was hot, Johnny. That's what loving my wife as Christ so loved the church means to me. Right? I take the burden off of her. She called me one time. She said, I need you to help me. I said, you do? I said, what are we doing after work? She said, well, we're cleaning up chicken pens. I thought, glory to God. I went up there and bought her a big riding lawnmower and me a tractor. I helped her. I took my tractor and cleaned it out, Mac. My God, I ain't raking that with a rake. My point is, I bought that little piece of equipment. And I thought, I'll make it easy on my wife. I'll make it. She calls it her tractor, a little four-wheel drive Kubota. I bought just for her so she wouldn't be having hardship. See, y'all ladies that are married or going to get married, you know, and all of that, you need to be praying for your man. You need to be praying, thank you, God, for that man that's going to come into my life that loves Jesus Christ, that loves the Word of God, that is going to love me like Christ loved the church. And God, I'm getting ready right now. Thank you that I'm that productive woman in Proverbs 31. You're going to send her into my life, and she's going to be that Proverbs 31 woman. She's going to submit to me, and I'm going to be humble before you. And we're all going to have a good life. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I said, I had a pretty messed up life. My brothers and sisters raised me. Mom and them worked. They had to work, you know, back then. And all the kids took care best I can remember, you know. I mean, Sybil and them, I mean, they wouldn't let us have no cake or nothing. They would eat and we'd starve. So we learned to get tough, buddy. We'd go out and eat bark off trees and berries and dig up. I'd eat clay out of the side of the mountain. I mean, all kind of good stuff. It was good for me. Added iron to me. So when I came into this thing, I was still jacked up. When I got born again, I was still jacked up. A lot of y'all think you wasn't jacked up. You just ain't got your eyes opened yet. You just ain't had a quickening of the Holy Spirit yet. Because when I begin to see how I was, and in light of the Word of God, I begin to cry out, God, help me. Help me to be what you want me to be, God. Help me to move into what you want me to be. Help me to do what you want me to do, God. Leaning on Him. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'm talking about Jesus. I don't need Johnny. I do, but I don't. That's right. So we must, as the body of Christ, begin to maneuver ourselves and put the Word first place and final authority. The Bible tells, I've had people wanting to be in business that were really good business people. They wanted to go in business with me. And I mean, I would really desire maybe to have a partner back then, because I was doing everything, you know. But they were lost. They had money. They worked. They did everything. But what does the Scripture say for me? concerning that. What does it say? Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So, what do? I do not yoke with an unbeliever. You know, that is not a scripture to confine me. That is a scripture that has protected me. The scripture is not to take away from you. The scripture is to build you, add to you, edify you, strengthen you, free you up, freer and freer. The more fruit that I bear from the Word of God, the freer that I get in Jesus Christ. Now you go down there and it says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, different things. It says all these things, it comes and it chokes the Word. Chokes the Word. How can you choke the Word? You don't bring it up. You don't talk about it. You're just going with the flow, your feelings, your emotions. One thing you must learn as a Christian after you're born again is to live by not your feelings, not your emotions, not your experiences, not everybody else's experience. You live by the Word of God. Jesus said it very plain in the wilderness when he was in the wilderness. He said, mankind shall not live by natural food alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Jesus was quoting to Satan Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he was actually, his angel's charge, he was quoting Psalms 91. Well, if Jesus needs to use the Word of God, don't you think we do? Don't you think it's a weapon? Ephesians 6 says it is. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. See, you feel like sometimes you can't do things. What does your Bible say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So your mind has to be renewed to that. Your mind, you need to think that all the time. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. When things get tough at work, Chris, and things get tired, and it seems like I can't get to everything and get to the church and do the ministry and put the heat and cooling system in, and then Teresa's air conditioning goes out, and that's cares. Right? I've got to watch them where they don't choke the Word and they become unfruitful in my life. Right? That's what it says. But we are this church. We are the good ground, people. He said some fell on good ground that brought forth some 30. That means you're getting healed. 60. Oh, there comes your money. 100-fold. Oh, man, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, glory to God. I'm being made whole. And the Bible says that we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God. We are being transformed by the Word of God. And when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to say, "Ho, y'all are just like me. Ho! Y'all bleed that scripture in there when you look like ain't no way you can be like Jesus. Where it says it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he comes we shall be like him, for we shall see." Y'all bleed that. And that come to pass in y'all's life. I was thinking about it this morning. He's the King of Kings. Who's the kings he's talking about? King of Kings, right? He's our Lord. Lord of Lords. I thought, man, we're kings and lords. We're not Jesus, but he's put us down here in supernatural authority. That's why Satan wants us warped up. But we have that inward witness like Teresa was talking about of the will of God in our life. Then we check it with the Word of God. And then we get that witness by the Holy Spirit. And then when we get that and we know it's the will of God, we get it and we gonna set out to do it in Jesus' name. We just don't put "in Jesus' name" out there so we sound spiritual. We, in our hearts, when we say that, we think to ourselves, we are in the authority of Jesus. We're walking in his dominion. We're walking in His anointing. We're walking in His grace. Amen. See, in Jesus' name is just not something to slap on your bumper. Let God, it's authority. It's the authority given to us. He said He give us power over all the power of the devil. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Well, I believe that, Johnny. But God, I double dog dare the devil to attack this church. Come on over here, Jack. But God, you better stay down yonder with that bunch that don't know nothing about the Word of God. They're saved and born again, but they don't know how to whip you. They don't know how to put you under their feet. They don't know how to yield. When I've had the opportunity to get mad at everybody but you. You ain't been here but two times. Right? But you know what I don't do, Mac? Take it. I do not take opportunities. I cast down thoughts. The Bible says, casting down, 2 Corinthians 2:10, 3 through 5. It says, though we walk in this natural body, we don't war against it. With the weapons of our warfare are... Oh, you got... Man, they're swift. Did I have that? I didn't even know it. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, Travis. We have the ability to pull down these strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is, you can't separate Jesus and the Word of God, because the Bible says in John over there, He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came down and dwelt among, became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. See, me and Teresa found out a long time ago, Mac, that our minds belong to us. We choose what we think on. We can choose what we think on. We can choose. We can choose to think on good things. Or we can choose to think on... We didn't know it. We just thought... And that's the way it is. Whatever thought comes, I can't stand Richard. Go around meditating on that. Then the Richard gets around me, I'm like, I can't stand him. And then more he gets around me, I'm blocking him. I don't even want to see him. He ain't even talking to me. What am I doing? I've meditated on a thought that has nothing to do with my peace. And I started thinking on that. I've started confessing different about Monty. I nicknamed him, and some of y'all picked it up. He's slow as a herd of turtles. And I'm repenting of that. I'm like, he's going to be the fastest runner in the church. But God, he's not slow. I'm calling him that. I'm naming him that. And then if he thinks, well, I'm slow as a herd of turtles. I planted a garden in his mind. And now he's slowing down. I got to get in gear with what I believe. That's what you'll do. You'll get right in gear with what you believe. If you believe you can do all things through Christ Jesus, but God, you'll be laying there about half dead. You'll be like, whoo, oh yes, glory to God, I can do all things through Christ. And people be following you around thinking he's going to fall out any minute. He's going to fall over dead any minute. And some people call me crazy when I come out of open heart surgery. My body went through an excruciating thing. But boy, my spirit didn't. I mean, my spirit was strong, just like it is today. I don't get down so I don't have to get up. If you don't get down, if you don't let yourself get down, you don't have to get up. But God, you can stand strong 24/7. You can keep your mind stayed on the Lord 24/7 if you need to. The more you train yourself to do that, the more it becomes automatic. I don't say, my finger on G or E. But used to, I was like, where is G and E? So get me some things and put on there playing a guitar. You know, and I'm like, oh, G and E. And I'm like, man, I'm going to get past all of this where I ain't got to think about where my finger's going so I can worship God while I play. And now, every now and then I'm this, and Travis looks at me. And Chris is over here, hits the wrong one because he's got me in his ear. I hit the wrong cord, and Chris following me and messing me up. Not really. I'm just making a point. We all in unity, though. It helps, don't it? Yes, sir. We in unity with the Holy Spirit. We're in unity with the Word. We got the Word, first place and final authority. Hallelujah. Well, I come in here and I was telling the men yesterday, and I wasn't being braggadocious, but God, I was weak. My physical body was weak. My mind was telling me your ministry's over. My mind would tell me you're finished up as a husband. It don't have to be open heart surgery for Satan to come and do that garbage to you and try to get you to be a garbage dumpster. Dump garbage through your thoughts and all of that to get you to believe what you feel, to get you to believe what you see. Hallelujah. When the Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen, the eternal things, right? The Bible says we walk by faith and we walk not by sight, not by how you feel. I imagine Eddie and Paul had been the one, you know, he wrote this stuff. You know, he had to walk it out. He had to live it. What if he'd have been beat and put in prison two or three times? You know, he wrote most of the New Testament in prison by the Holy Spirit. What if he'd have been in there? Oh, I'm just all washed up. I just ain't writing nothing. Don't bring me no books in here. Don't bring me no letters to write to the Philippians. I ain't writing Ephesians people no more. They don't listen anyways. He could have got this, all of this. But you know what was the only thing, the only issue with Paul is he had met Jesus Christ and he was real. He wasn't the fake deal. He was the real deal in Paul's life. And that was in Paul's life, Paul said, I'm going after that. Boy, I felt that when it came in me on the road to Damascus, praise God. Then he sent me over there and Ananias prayed for me. My eyesight was healed. He was blinded. He said, now, and then the Lord began to show him the ministry. He began to show him the journey he had for him all along. And then Paul wrote that, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to desire that I've been apprehended of, God. Help me to go after that I have been apprehended of, God. Help me, and he will. Well, I was telling them at the men's meeting, one of them doctors giving this and giving that, and some word, I started to say, what does that mean? What does that word mean, man? God, I ain't never heard that word before. There's new words out there. I think they just tack something on there when they find something they don't know what to do with. They're tacking, yeah, this is scrotoreosis. Scrotoreosis. And it's like, God, that's bad. Scrotoreosis, what's that mean? Don't even know what it means, but it's terrible. And I was telling that guy, I said, I'll tell you what, so I told him about the little story. I told him about going into surgery, and I told him about coming out, and I told him about saying, you know, the Bible says, you know, we're not trying to walk in the Spirit. Paul said, we are in the Spirit, if so be that Christ dwells in us. We're walking. I've got to come out of the Spirit to get oppressed. I've got to come out and look at things to get fearful. I've got to come out because the man that is born on the inside of you, which is supernatural, like I explained, praise God, it fears nothing. It don't fear cancer. It don't fear not having the bill money. It don't fear whether you're going to be able to pay your bill. It don't fear. Your spirit man does not fear. And the more that you feed that spirit man through renewing your mind to the Word of God, the stronger your inner... That's what Teresa was talking about this morning, developing. But you know what? You can listen to a good sermon like this or hear a good preaching on TV and go home and say, nobody, you've done nothing. You've got to activate what you hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, but the Bible also says that the gospel preached not mixed with faith profits nothing. Don't profit. I won't profit. I won't bear fruit. Teresa, she come in there and said, the Lord showed me this, and she said something the other day, the other Sunday, back in the bathroom, and and talking about a tree bears fruits, you know what the fruit. If it's an apple tree, it's an apple tree and all that stuff, you know. And I thought, well, what kind of tree am I, man? Well, she went out and come back in. And I told her, I said, hey. I said, you know what I am? She said, what? I said, I'm a fruit tree. I said, I bear fruit. Right? Not oranges, not plums. I love. I bear fruit. I love my enemies. I bear fruit. I forgive when I'm done wrong. I bear fruit. I cast down thoughts. Hallelujah. When they come, I'm bearing fruit. Y'all are fruit trees. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you got fruit trees, you got to go keep the bugs off. Right? They need some water. We don't want no shriveled up prunes. The Bible says by the water, by the washing, by the word. Right? We're watered. We water our spirit, feed our spirit. Fasting. Fasting's a good thing. My day's tomorrow. Anybody want to join? Don't raise your hand. Everybody don't raise your hand. Y'all, I'll put them down. Ain't nobody raised their hand, Johnny. Now, I'm just kind of being funny, but now I'm a fasting man. I believe that I'm separating myself unto God. I believe that I'm drawing away, and I do some praying when I'm fasting as much as possible. I keep my mind on the Word when I'm fasting as much as possible. See, if your mind tells you, I'll starve to death. Now, get Philippians and say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Your body will shut up. Change your thinking. You'll change your whole life. You'll change the way your life is going. I can't wait till tomorrow.
How long do you fast?
Well, sometimes a day. Sometimes a couple of meals. Sometimes 2 days. Sometimes three. It's not just a ritual thing. I mean, it's not necessarily. But, you know, I usually don't go over 3 days. But whatever you do for the Lord, He receives it. I've had people, man, I've never fasted. It's terrible. I just do one meal. You know, just do one meal. Then next time, go 2 meals. You know, just set your heart to what you're going to do. Just don't eat before the first meal. Whatever you do. I've been whipped by a hot dog. I mean, go by and they got a hot dog standing on the side of the road, boy, in my belly. And I'll be like, well, shoot, I'll fast tomorrow. Whew, turn around, go back in there, and then eat that hot dog. Whew, and then I'll be like, I was defeated by a hot dog. And it can't even talk. Whatever you do, just be dedicated to it. If it's 1 meal, 2 meals, I'm not on fasting, but if y'all want to fast, join in. Teresa's got a day she does once. We fast once a week. Month. Lord Jesus. It's in there, but that ain't for me. Jesus went 30, 40 days. That's Jesus. Yeah, now Daniel fast 30, 40 days, you eat this fruit. Yeah. You know, it's Daniel. They call it a Daniel fast. Daniel wouldn't eat no meats and breads, and it was just, you know, praise the Lord. But now I like to do a no food fast. Hello. Y'all got me off on fasting. Y'all must be needing something, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Y'all needing something. You're hungry. Sometimes your breakthrough comes through your motivated force towards God. Sometimes your breakthrough, you're not waiting on the breakthrough. The breakthrough's waiting on you. Sometimes when the Bible says be doers of the word, don't think of that as negative. I mean, stop thinking of the Bible as negative and against you and hard. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said, learn how I am. That's what he was talking about. Learn how I am. I'm meek, I'm lowly, I'm gentle. I'm not hard to get along with. You know, I'm not quick-tempered. I mean, there used to be a time when Teresa would say something to me, it would just tick me off like that. I mean, just don't talk to me. What you even talking to me for? Just a bunch of blah, 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 blah. I'm busy. You know, I mean, some men's like it. Richard's like a woman. I mean, the boy can just get talking. I mean, he cars, building. 3 hours later, back around again. Let's start again. Let's go over it again and again and again and again. And I told him what I said. I do the word that way, Richard. Come on, man. Get on the word like that, son. But that's the way it is, you know. Well, we need to be meditating on God's word. Man, we're done running late here. Did y'all enjoy it? Did you enjoy it? Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. I enjoyed you being here. I enjoyed you hearing. Praise God. I enjoyed the Holy Spirit here this morning, praise the Lord. And I'm believing God. I preached what I felt like He wanted me to preach. And y'all preachers, listen to me. And I'm releasing my faith that He does what He does. I did my job and He'll do His. And then if you do your job, thank you, Lord. I got ears to hear. I got eyes that see. I got heart that receives and understands. And you do that part and He goes, boo, woo. And then middle of the week, you're like, God, I got to go to church. What's wrong with me? Yeah. I want to go to work. I'm enjoying work. What's wrong with me? I'm enjoying my family again. What's wrong with me? I've been changed, hallelujah, and rearranged. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You and we thank You, Father, this morning.